Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You once again on this, Your day, and ask that You would reveal to us our Lord Jesus Christ. Show us to Him in all His glory, and may we see the preciousness of His blood and the glory of His crucifixion. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse 22. With only three verses, I hope to stay within the time, but we'll see. Leviticus chapter 9 at verse 22, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Just a reminder that where we are in the book of Leviticus is we're in the very first worship service taking place in the tabernacle that was just finished. And here we had recently seen in chapter 8 the consecration of the priests, and now in chapter 9 we have seen that the priests have organized everything. They've got it all set up for the sacrifice to be made. And now we come to the last section of the chapter in which we see the Lord receiving that sacrifice. So hear now the word of our God from Leviticus chapter 9 at verse 22. Then Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Y'all can have a moment to take your peppermints while I take my coffee. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to an amazing passage in which we see the realities of the new covenant in Christ foreshadowed. I am always amazed, and I hope and pray I never lose sight of the amazement of Scripture. That in only a few short verses, Christ is so clearly seen, even as it was written hundreds of years before He came. And that the truth that it conveys is just as true in the day that it was written as it is for us today, and will be on into eternity. Here in this passage, we see some very neat foreshadowing of Christ. However, as we come to this passage and as we examine it, there is a question that we should ask. Because it does seem that as we read these three verses, that things seem to be out of order. Did you catch that? Things seem to be out of order. Why does blessing come before God sends fire down to consume the sacrifice? You would expect that the fire would come down, consume the sacrifice, atonement would be made, and that would show that the sins of the people were removed from them, and then blessing would come. That would seem to be, to us, the logical order of how things should happen. that you would not receive blessing until the debt had been paid. However, that's not the order of things that we find in our passage. And we have things in sort of a reverse order of what we would expect for primarily two reasons. First, we see the gentle heart of our God here. They're about to witness something truly amazing. Fire coming down from heaven and burning up the sacrifice. Now, if you children saw fire coming down from heaven, I think you'd be a little scared, wouldn't you? And remember that God has already revealed himself to his people on Mount Sinai, with the whole mountain shaking, being covered in thick smoke and darkness and thunders and lightnings and fire. And God had already warned his people that they were not to come to the mountain, that there was an actual physical barrier set up around the mountain so that the people and animals could not go on the mountain. Only Moses and sometimes Aaron were allowed to actually go up this mountain into the presence of God. They already had seen this. They already known that. Now, if you knew that the Lord was holy, 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 and you had seen Mount Sinai as it was, covered in smoke and shaking, thunders and lightnings and sounds of trumpets, and there you are gathered around the tabernacle and that had just been constructed, and at the first worship service conducted in it, you see fire coming down from heaven. What would be your first instinct? Run! Right? Run for your lives! You would be terrified. And you maybe would think, this is the end! And so to keep Israel from fleeing in terror and instead reverently falling on their faces, the Lord has Moses and Aaron bless the people so that they can be assured that God is not against them. That he's not going to unleash the fire on them. A fire that they deserve. But instead, God is going to send that fire down upon the altar, upon the sacrifice. That God would send down his wrath upon this sacrifice instead of upon them. All of that, of course, is a foreshadowing of what was to come with Christ on that cross. That the fires of hell were poured out upon Christ on that cross, taking away our sin and shame, paying the penalty for it, so that we would not be consumed. The second reason that we have blessing before the sending down of fire is because of where the Israelites are in relationship to the cross. We have to remember where we are in redemptive history. We are at, in this passage, a time before Christ had come. And so the order of things as we read here is directly related to the spiritual experience of the Israelites. That they were living under the blessing of the Christ who has not yet come. That the payment for their sin had not yet come, but that they were living already under the blessing of the atonement of Christ, which displays to us that the atonement of Christ goes in both directions. It goes back to Adam and Eve, and it goes all the way back to Christ coming, forward to Christ coming again. And the blood of Christ covers all of His people. The people of God in the Old Testament were not saved in a different way than we are. They needed the same Savior. They needed the same salvation. And we see in this experience of the people of God that they are recognizing that they already live with the blessing that the Messiah would bring. The forgiveness of their sins. Even before the sacrifice that would do just that had taken place. And so, even here in this passage, we see the clear truth that the Old Testament saints were saved in the same way that we are. They received the same grace, even though they're on opposite sides of the cross in terms of history. This then brings us to the next thing that should never cease to amaze us. And that is that God sent fire from heaven. God sent fire from heaven. That is a miraculous thing. This was a clear sign of two things. First, this was a sign of God pouring out His wrath against our sin on the sacrifice. And second, that the sacrifice that was offered was acceptable to God. Everything, of course, in this sacrifice that we read here in Leviticus 9 is all an anticipation of the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. As the author of Hebrews points out, obviously the blood of bulls and goats is not going to forgive sin. It's not able to take away the sins of human beings. But this demonstration of God in sending His own fire down from heaven is showing that His wrath against our sin needs to be appeased. Our debt needs to be paid for. Our treason needs to be forgiven. It is also a demonstration that the Lord is going to provide that sacrifice. That this salvation that the Lord shall provide is all of His doing, and there is nothing that we can add to. We cannot add to it, nor should we even try to take away from it. The sacrifice that Christ provides is all sufficient. And the salvation we receive is all of God's doing. But as we think about this fire raining down from heaven, how should this reality instruct our hearts and our minds? It should open our spiritual eyes to the fact that our sin in the sight of God is so bad, it's so evil, that just our saying sorry is not good enough. Not good enough. Could our tears forever flow? Right? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. We sometimes treat repentance like that. We say sorry to the Lord for the things that we've done. And we just sort of assume that God's going to forgive us. Because, you know, after all, I did say I'm sorry. God doesn't forgive you because you said, I'm sorry. God forgives you because Christ took your place. And so when we realize that, it helps us understand, hopefully, that all that we are and all that we have is by grace. And hopefully we will grow in our understanding that the grace of God is of value far beyond our finding out. Can we imagine? Can we comprehend the love that our Savior had for us on that cross? As He suffered the fiery wrath of God for every sin that we have ever committed. Imagine what love He must have had on that cross to know that here and now, in this life, even as regenerate people, born again, that there would be moments where we would willfully sin. Where we would willfully choose to do something that would cause Him to suffer more on that cross. And yet He still went. And He still hung there. Until He had drank the last dregs of the cup of God's wrath. So that we would be delivered. We can't comprehend that. We can understand it in part. But the depths of such love and grace we'll never find out. It's too great for us. It's too awesome for us. And so, my brothers and sisters, we must never grow cold in our understanding of these glorious things. For we have received the knowledge of what Christ actually did and suffered for us to be saved. Yes, the Old Testament Israelites saw fire coming down from heaven, and that was pretty awesome. Obviously, they all fell down on their faces. But we have received the clarity, the light of the New Testament that explains to us in even more glorious detail how our salvation was accomplished. How we are under blessing and not under curse. And so that should cause us even more to fall down before the glorious throne of our God and worship Him with terror and with love. That should always be how we worship the Lord. With a trembling of being in His awesome presence and comforted by His love all the time. For what does our Lord Jesus say more than anything else in all of Scripture? Do not fear. Because yes, we should tremble at the awesomeness of God's presence, but we never have to be afraid of being there. In fact, we are encouraged by the author of Hebrews to enter boldly before the throne of grace, because Christ's salvation is sufficient to pay for all of our sins. And that brings us then to the last point. We are told multiple times in our passage that Moses and Aaron bless the people. What blessing do they give? Well, we're not told exactly what they said. What we do know is that it was a divine blessing. It was a blessing from the Lord. And a pretty good educated guess would be that it was the blessing that we call the Aaronic benediction. The benediction that the priests were to give to the people of God is recorded for us in Numbers chapter 6. And if this is the exact blessing or something similar, it is still a helpful blessing for us to consider, because it is the blessing that resides upon us as the people of God because we have been saved by the sacrifice of Christ. So let's take a few moments and reflect upon the Aaronic benediction. Remember those words: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The blessing that God gives to His people is that we are forever under His blessing and favor, because He is covenantally faithful. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. And He has us dwelling in His glorious and loving presence forever and ever. And His infinite grace is placed upon us. And that means that every single divine blessing that could be given to us mere creatures is fully and freely given. The storehouses of heaven have been poured out upon our heads. When you think about what has been given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, we must reflect and acknowledge that there is nothing greater that we could be given. What Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden pales in comparison to what has been given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they got to walk with God in the garden. But we will get to walk with our Savior forever and ever. Not just as mere creatures bearing His image, but as children of God, adopted into the family of God, crowned with glory and honor bestowed upon us by our Lord Jesus Christ, clothed not in our own righteousness, but in God's righteousness. Do we grasp that? Have we understood that even in part? That the blessings that are ours in Christ are far beyond what is given to any other creature. That we are exalted so much even above the angels that we will judge them. And who are we to receive such blessings? What have we done for God that would merit such good gifts? Nothing. And we have peace. Peace with God, peace with the people of God, peace with all creation, peace with our past. Peace in our present and peace throughout our eternal future. And this blessing, these beautiful gifts, are all ours only because of what Christ has done. We are all under divine blessing because of what Christ did for us on that cross. Don't take that for granted. Don't treat God's grace as anything cheap or ordinary. We have been given every good and perfect thing all by grace. For our works deserve something very different. But you see, this is the great God that we serve. This is the character of the God who now serves you. With Himself. When you think about the infinite characteristics of our God, and that He gave Himself to us, truly, we are blessed beyond all measure. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how easy it is for us to treat your grace and your love toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ as small and cheap. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would grow in our understanding of our depravity in order that we would grow in our understanding of your grace. We pray, O Lord, that as now as we come into your presence and partake of this holy feast which you have prepared for us, we pray, O Lord, that we would remember the beauty of our Savior, the beauty of our sacrifice, the beauty of being forgiven and being at peace with you. O Lord, may we always enjoy the sweet communion with you that has been obtained for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive now our worship. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see you face to face, now with our eyes of faith, and look forward to that time when we shall see you as you are, in glory, with these eyes renewed and resurrected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.